The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. When everything appears to be shifting, we often ask what God is doing.
God can be trusted 100% of the time, and your life is not out of control. One of our greatest temptations is to try and control what's going on around us. We are not in control, but God is 100% of the time.
Sheila Walsh, next on Life Today.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh. Thanks so much for joining us. You know, I'm so encouraged by the number of you who'll take time to, you send a letter or you send an email and just let us know the way that God is touching your life through the program. We don't take that for granted. We're so grateful. And we're so grateful for the times that you step up with our different mission emphasis and make such a difference in the world. You know, when somebody asked me the other day, I was speaking at a conference in Williamsburg, Virginia, and they were saying, what do you still know for sure? Because it seems like everything in the world is shifting. And so I looked at this sweet girl and I said, listen, here's what I know for sure. When everything around you is shifting, God's word remains steadfast. You know, there's probably, I think, about over 80 references in the Bible about God being a God who intervenes, who rescues, who's active in the life of his children. But specifically, you know, in terms of God being a God who rescues. In times of trouble, we're often, I don't know about you, but I often turn to Psalm 91. It's called the hiding psalm for good reason. Bible scholars, they're not 100% sure who wrote it. Many believe it was probably written by Moses before his death as a follow-up to his great prayer over the children of Israel who'd wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. He reminded them of this: the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. We find that in Deuteronomy. But even though they had rebelled and disobeyed, Moses wrote, the eternal God remains a refuge. We fail, God does not. As I've been studying Psalm 91, it's hard not to think of all that the people of the Ukraine have faced in 22. So I was finding myself asking, what does it look like to be rescued when your nation is being bombed and you're being forced to leave your country? What does it look like to be rescued when evil appears to be triumphing? To me, I understand it to mean that we are standing firm on the truth of God's promises, no matter what. I love studying the John Phillips commentary on the Psalms. It's a two-volume set, and he makes an interesting comment in his study on Psalm 91. He talks about the fact that Satan is a greater student of God's word than many believers. You might remember in Luke chapter 4, when Christ is tempted by Satan in the wilderness, Satan quotes from God's word. He quotes from Psalm 91. We need to know the word of God, not just read it, but know how to apply it to our lives so that no matter what is going on in or around us, we stand on the truth that our God is a God who rescues. Sometimes he rescues us out of a situation. And sometimes he is in the shalom. He is the peace of God in the midst of a situation. Ultimately, our rescuer is Jesus. I want to read a little to you from a study guide that I wrote to accompany my book, Holding On When You Want to Let Go. And it's a part that if you did this study, you might be tempted to skip over, because it relates to a war story, but it's so powerful, I don't want you to miss it. This is what it says. Almost 80 years later, it's still considered one of the most daring and heroic rescues in recorded history. World War II neared its end, and only 510 American prisoners of war had survived the brutal Bataan Death March and transfer to an internment camp in the Philippines. Inhumane treatment at the hands of their captors, merciless tropical conditions, disease, and punishing forced labor had claimed the lives of thousands. Because intelligence reports identified close to 7,000 enemy troops in the area, attempting to save these POWs amounted to a suicide mission. But the Army Rangers went anyway. They refused to give up. Disheartening news came from the captain of guerrilla forces. Only a few of these 510 POWs can walk. They'll have to be carried if you're going to take them out. The Rangers refused to give up. After overwhelming guards, the Rangers began liberating their incarcerated brothers, many of whom were so sick and disorientated and suspicious, initially refused to come out of hiding. But the Rangers refused to give up. Defying all odds, they rescued all 510 prisoners of war. Historians celebrate this daring rescue mission known as the Great Raid as one of the bravest of all times in human history. Though separated by decades and circumstances, you and I have something in common with the American POWs liberated at the end of World War II. According to the Word of God, we too were held captive by an enemy, in bondage to inhumane forces whose orders included massacre and devastation. We too desperately needed rescue. And thanks be to God, our deliverer not only came, but also persisted, despite our confusion, disorientation, and even rejection of the invitation to be rescued. Here's the part I really want you to listen to. Army Rangers knew they might die in order to rescue us. Jesus knew he would die, a cruel death, a wicked death, during which all the sins of all humanity would be laid upon his shoulders. He came anyway. He refused to give up on even one of his beloved children. That is quite a rescue mission. So there's kind of three truths I want us to look at today. Number one, when everything around you is shifting, God's word remains steadfast. Number two, God is committed to your rescue. It's a promise. And number three, God can be trusted 100% of the time. Your life is not out of control. So let's look at this. Truth number one, when everything around you is shifting, God's word remains steadfast. Remember how Jesus unpacked that truth for us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. I love the way that Eugene Peterson translates this passage in the Message Bible. He said this, "These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who builds his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter who builds his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards." Wow, that's quite a picture. Foundational words, not something we add on to our life. Foundational words, words to build your life on. Life changed in a moment for the people of Ukraine on February the 24th, 2022. We don't know when something devastating could happen to us here in America. But Jesus has told us what to do. Build our lives on Christ, the solid rock. You know, I read that many pastors in Ukraine turned their sanctuaries into bomb shelters, places of refuge. That seems pretty appropriate. Pastor Valery Antoniuk, president of Ukrainian Baptist Union, said in a video address that all God's people around the world should remain in prayer because that is our weapon in times of war. So how do we know if we have and are building our lives on the solid rock? I believe that our brothers and sisters in this war-torn land are being a light in the darkness. The Ukraine Evangelical Theological Seminary told their students that this attack, and I'm quoting from something I read, is not a reason to panic, but to remember how many times God says in His Word, don't be afraid. Now, fear paralyzes, but prayer, trust in God, caring for our neighbor gives us strength. Now, these words speak to each one of us. Whatever you are facing right now, whatever, we pray, we trust God, and as we care for those around us, God will give us strength. So truth number two, God is committed to your rescue. It's a promise. I love this scripture. The Lord hears His people when they call to Him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. If you've known me for more than 10 minutes, you know how much I love Psalm 34. There are three words that can be translated as rescued in Scripture. We're most familiar with the first one, the verb sozo, which means, kind of speaks of salvation, being made whole. But one of the other words, ruomai, has the idea of the rescuer drawing the one in trouble to himself and holding them close. We're not just rescued and then left to fend for ourselves. We are rescued and held. In his powerful book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis quotes Dr. Samuel Johnson, "People need to be reminded more than they need to be instructed." So let's remind one another as often as we can of the life-saving truth of God's Word, more often than we say, "Did you hear what was on the news?" So, truth number three, God can be trusted 100% of the time, and your life is not out of control. One of our greatest temptations is to try and control what's going on around us. We are not in control, but God is 100% of the time. The prophet Isaiah wrote this, "The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It's the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." That's a promise. God's word always produces fruit. It never fails. You can trust God. You can trust God 100%, 100% of the time. I was looking through an old hymn book of my mom's the other day, and I love the lyrics of this particular hymn. I don't know if you grew up with this hymn or not, but it's called "How Firm a Foundation." Let me remind you of some of the lyrics. "How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said, to you who to Jesus for refuge have fled? Fear not, I am with you. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am your God and will still give you aid. I'll strengthen you, help you, and cause you to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand." And I love this last verse. "The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. What a promise. When we think of rescue, we tend to think of it now, you know, in a situation that we're experiencing at the moment. But as followers of Christ, we're not promised that we'll be able to escape every hard place. But what we are promised is that we are being held by God, that He is in control, and our ultimate rescue is secure, and no one can touch that. When Paul wrote to the church in Colossae, he reminded them of this. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all His glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people who live in the light. For He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgives our sins. I was at a conference recently, and someone was doing a presentation, and they were talking about the fact that during the pandemic, a lot of people kind of stopped going to church and maybe stopped reading their Bible as much as they had before. They just kind of settled into this kind of new normal. But what they were saying was that if you have got out of the habit of reading God's Word, one of the ways that you can change that is if you read God's Word for one day, there's not necessarily too much change in your habits or patterns. 2 days, 3 days. But what they said was, if you read God's Word for 4 days, you have begun to establish a new habit and a new pattern. So I really want to encourage you, you know, if you don't have a Bible, to get hold of a Bible. And if you have one and you used to be a faithful Bible student, but you've stopped maybe reading it so much, I encourage you to pick your Bible up every day. I do it in the morning because I just know that, you know, when the rest of the day kicks in, there's so many different demands on our time and attention. But when I get up in the morning, I let our dogs out, make myself a cup of coffee, and I'll grab my Bible and I'll go downstairs and I'll sit outside and I'll open up the Word of God and I'll just allow the Word of God to speak to me. You know what? No matter what you're going through, no matter how many questions you have, you will find answers in God's Word. And then maybe take a journal out too. That's one of the things I like to do, is I'll read God's Word and then I'll just be quiet in His presence. You've probably noticed the world is noisy. It just seems to be getting noisier and noisier every day. And so to be still, remember Psalm 46 verse 10, where we're told, be still and know that I am God. I'm sure you live a busy life, like most of us do. But I ask you, in the name of the Lord, carve out a little time in every day to just be still in the Lord's presence, to make the Word of God your best friend, and to walk with Jesus, not just to kind of pop in every now and again with a prayer request, but literally to let Him be the one who walks with you through every single day, through every situation. And one of the situations that here at Life we are very committed to is having God's ears for those who are hurting and are crying out for help. So I want to show you something, and then I'll tell you how you and I can be an answer to their prayers.
Death due to malnutrition. It's why so many of these small graves are dug daily at this cemetery in a place called Katyumbela. It's in villages like these where the death cycle starts off as simple hunger pains. Each day, mothers struggle to find enough food for their children, all the while hoping and praying that their children won't be next to succumb to the ravages of starvation.
This is Maria. She's like me. She's a mom. The only difference is that Maria was born in Angola, and her little baby girl, Maria, was born in Angola at this time when there's such a crisis going on. You're never going to believe it, but this precious little girl who weighs 6 pounds is 1 year and 7 months old. A year and 7 months, and she weighs 6 pounds. I don't know if you can... Oh, darling, I don't want to hurt you, but can you see her skin? I didn't understand this before I got here, but with severe malnutrition, the first organ to shut down is the skin. It's as if all the reserves go to try and protect what's left inside. So as you can see, her skin has begun to literally peel off her body. This is a fresh crisis. This is a fresh urgency. This will not wait. We talk about life where it's needed most. Where it's needed most is right here, but even more than that, where it's needed most is in the villages where these darling children live. They need our help, and they need it now. I'll never forget my first trip to Angola and what I saw there. And I know that you have been, many of you have been with us for years, and you care about the situation. The situation has never been worse. This is the worst drought that they have experienced in over 40 years. And I remember just a couple of years ago, you know, going with some of these mums and scraping through the dry earth to see if there was anything that would have any basic nutrition or even just something to put in their little ones' tummies. And there was precious little then, and there is even less now. Here's the thing that is just amazing to me. This is something that you and I can do something about. You know, when James and Betty established Mission Feeding so many years ago, they did it because they believed it was our joy as believers to make a difference. And they have continued for years. And what we give these children, when we set up the Mission Feeding program in a village, is a special, it looks a little like oatmeal or soup, but it's specially made for children in that area of the world with the protein and the vitamins they need for strength. But when we first were doing it, they were showing up with cans. Now, A, for a start, when you put something hot in a can, it's going to burn you. But not only that, some children would show up with a can, like about the size, and be able to get a decent meal. Some children were showing up with literally the kind of thing that you would give your cat food in. One little one even arrived just with a lid. And so that's when we came up with this great solution. Bowls, it says Life Outreach in the bottom of the bowl. Do you want to join us today and give hope in a bowl? See, I've seen it. You ask me, well, how do you know it works? Because I've been there. I mean, I've been in that malnutrition clinic and watched these poor little ones, you know, where the skin is literally peeling off their bodies and their hair is turning a strange color and they don't have the energy to cry. But then I've gone to the villages on the same trip where Mission Feeding has already been established. And I've had the privilege of being the one to fill the bowls and hand it to the children. And they just look like our children did when they were little. They're laughing and singing and dancing and sitting under the shade of a tree and enjoying this meal that has literally changed their life from death to life. Please, will you join us today? Will you help us fill these bowls? $30 will feed 3 children, not for a day, but for 3 whole months. $50 will feed 5. $100 will feed 10. As Betty once said, let's make sure the line of children is never longer than the food we have to put in these bowls. Please, call now. Give the best gift you can. Give hope in a bowl.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you The Chosen, 40 Days with Jesus. From the creators of the widely popular television drama, The Chosen, this devotional invites you to discover Jesus through the eyes of those who knew him best. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Amazing Grace Sheet Music Frame Wall Art. This timeless and well-beloved hymn can be displayed as a reminder of God's grace to you. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. This beautiful bronze is a reminder to care for children around the world in both word and deed. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Sheila, I know your heart for the mothers here in Africa. You've spoken to so many of them. I've seen your heart break, literally break, as you've heard their stories. And I'm asking you today on behalf of Rita that you would speak to the Friends of Life and you would ask them to give an extra special gift. We're experiencing the worst drought that we have ever experienced in the last 40 years here in Angola. And that is why mothers like Rita and children like Rose are suffering like they are. You can be an answer to Rita's prayer today if you'll say yes. If you'll respond yes, dial the number on your screen or get online and give the very best gift that you can give today. Give the gift of food. Give the gift of life.
Isn't that amazing? Hope in a bowl. You and I get to do that. You and I get to be an answer to the prayers of these darling mothers and grandmothers and their children who are desperately needing an answer. And the fact that we get to do it is just amazing. So please keep calling. If you haven't made a gift yet, would you consider calling now? $30 will feed 3 children for 3 months. Where else could you get that kind of redemption for $30? So thank you for your help. Please keep helping. Let's be determined that as we are Jesus' boots on the ground, we will not stop helping until we see him face to face. So I'm Sheila Walsh. For all of us here at Life, thank you for being with us, and we'll see you next time.
Tomorrow on Life Today, Duck Dynasty's Kay and Lisa Robertson empower their sisters in faith to discover their true voice. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.